Amen. God is good. You know you can do better. God is good. And He's good all the time. I want to just minister to y'all this morning. But first of all, I just want to tell each and every single person that God has a plan for your life. I want to tell you that God loves you so much. If you don't hear any other thing that I preach about this morning, what I want you to get out of this message is that God cares for you. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows your address. He knows your name. He knows what you're in need of. He knows the healing that you need. He knows the provision that you need. He knows the favor that you need. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. Yes, we do this every Sunday because God has made you well able to stand week after week. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we would not be able to stand. But because of His grace, God's made us well able. And so I just am going to begin to pray right now. I'm going to ask you to worship God in spirit and in truth. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the place this morning, God, right now I rebuke aggravation in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You, God, that healing flows through the body of Your children right now. God, whatever they need to leave, God, here this morning that's weighed them down, God, I ask that You would take those burdens right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You, God, for chains of addiction that are being broken off of Logan County right now. Lord, I ask You for an exposure, God, of every person that is selling dope in Jesus' name. God, I ask You right now, Lord, to heal people, God, all over this city. Lord God, I thank You for the Manna Center. God, I thank You, Lord, that it's there already. And we call it done right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm happy to be in His house. And I'm happy to feel His presence. You know, if God doesn't show up to church, it's not a good thing. But I feel His presence, and I'm thankful for all that He's done. I want you to know that He's kept you this week. He's kept you. He's kept you in the palm of His hand. He wouldn't let you go. There were probably times of anxiety for you this week. How many of you have felt anxiety this week? Let's pray right now. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank You right now. God, I speak to anxiety in this place. I feel that this morning. I feel it myself. God, I speak to anxiety and I tell it to go right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I loose the peace of God, Lord, all in this place. God, I ask You to walk down each and every single aisle. God, calm every heart right now. And Lord, thank You that this word is planted this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's go to Psalms 104, and we're going to look at verse 1 this morning. And it says here, O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps Himself in light as with a garment, and He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of His upper chambers on their waters. And He makes the clouds His chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. And He makes winds His messengers, flames of fire His servants. He set the earth on its foundations and it can never be moved. Look here, whatever God has set in order for you, nobody can mess it up. Whatever God has set on the foundation for your life, nobody can mess it up. There's too many Christians that feel lost and undone every time somebody messes with them. Look here, the devil's going to mess with you. He's going to use people and situations and scenarios to mess with you. Whatever God has laid in the foundation of your life, whatever doors that He's opened, nobody could close them. Whatever doors He's closed for you, nobody could open them up. All of the insecurity and the inadequacy that we feel from day to day, we got to slough that off and we got to realize who we are. We're children of God. We are the head and not the tail. We are in it to win it. God's made us very well able and He's already given us victory and we need to walk in that. We have to walk in it. Yesterday, y'all get ready to be shocked. I said, I'm going to try to be a little healthier. I'm going to go walking around this track and take out my frustration on this track. And I got to walking, and I walked 3 miles. And I've never been so proud of myself in all my life, but that wasn't the struggle for me. The struggle was to not go home and eat after that. And I wrestled with myself and wrestled with myself, and I said, I'm going to walk in this victory that I've gotten hold of this. Amen? But here it's telling us, it says, He set the earth on its foundations. And I want to tell you something. God has set you on a very high place. It may not always seem like it. It will not always feel like it, but God has set you in a high place, and He's kept you. And whatever of the foundations that He's put in there, look here, God's only going to add to that. He's going to add to it. And so it says in verse 5, He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment, and the waters stood above the mountains. Now, verse 7 is what we're going to minister on this morning. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. And I want to tell you something. There's too many believers in this day and age that are not taking the authority and the dominion that God gave them. See, the Word of God says, you know what? At your rebuke, they stopped. At your rebuke, that problem stopped. At your rebuke, that situation turned around. See, at any given moment, you have the authority that the book of Genesis told you. It says, now have dominion. I've given it to you. You name these animals. You're in charge. You have that dominion, and you go and you be the boss. And see, when situations, when you're in that battle and they look bigger than you are, at that moment, what you have to do is you have to stand up and you have to speak to that mountain. Because look here, ain't nobody else going to talk to that thing but you. You talk to it and you point your finger at it and you say, now look here, in Jesus' name, Satan, I rebuke you in what you're trying to do in my life. I tell you right now that God is raising up a standard and you will not cross this standard. See, at the rebuke is where things begin to change. If something is running rampant in your life, get a hold of it. Rebuke it. I don't know how many times I tell my kids, if you don't stop it, I'm going to whip you. But when I get really tired of them, Brother Alvy, I just rebuke the heck out of them. The way I used to get it. I haven't quite perfected it yet. My parents are still pretty darn good at it. I'm still afraid of my dad, and I'm like 37 years old just about, and I'm still afraid of when he gets after me. But look here. If there's something going on in your life, you know what? Rebuke that. Speak to it. Speak to it. So many times we are overwhelmed. And what we really want to do is we just want to just lay there and have a pity party. And what we cannot afford to do is have that pity party. We can't. We got to get up and we got to stand firm on the Word of God. And we got to rebuke these things that come in our lives because God's given us that power. He's given you power. I don't think people realize how much power that they have. There's many times where I say, God, I'm just feeling blah. You ever feel blah? Some days I just want to wear a shirt that just says blah, because that's how I'm really feeling. And what we have to realize is we're going to feel a lot of things. You don't live by what you feel. You don't live by what the situation looks like. Nothing's what it looks like on the natural realm. God's given you power. God's given you power. The other day, I was talking to God, and He said, Kelly, you don't know how much power that you have. And I said, God, I don't feel very powerful today. I'm not feeling it. Nah. He said, Kelly, go make somebody's life better. That's power. That's power. Wednesday, I was sitting, and I had never seen so many cars up on this block, hundreds of people being served. Why do I talk about the food ministry? Because look here, I love what God has done in this place. I'm proud of what God has done in this place. He gets all the credit for it. But as I began to watch, I said, God, I would have never done it like this, but God, you do all things well. You do all things well. And you know what? God will give you power to do things in your life that you never thought you could do. But it's going to start you rebuking those things that's trying to pop up. It's like flower beds, which I'm not good at. But you got to pick them weeds out, because if you don't, they're going to take over the place. They're going to straight up take over. And you got to constantly pick those weeds out. And you know how you're going to do it? You're going to rebuke things. When them little things try to come up in your life and they want to take over your emotions and your moods, you ever get them situations, they want to take over your mood? We got to rebuke those things. So let's go to Matthew chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 14. And when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Verse 17, O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long should I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. And in verse 18, Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. At what moment? The moment he rebuked that demon inside of him. At that moment. See, there's a name, and it's above every single name. There's a name to everything that we face. It may be divorce. It may be a bankruptcy. It may be infirmity. It may be depression. It may be anxiety. It may be fear. See, there are things that the Word of God pinpoints out, and they try to exalt themselves among the above God. But see, nobody's going to ever trump God. Nobody's going to ever be greater than God. And the Word says that you speak to those things and you rebuke them, because from the moment that you begin to rebuke, those things become to get off of your life. See, do you ever feel bound up by all the stuff that's driving you nuts? Does it want to take over your life and you want to just sit there and hide from the whole world because you feel like it's all coming up in on you? See, we got to rebuke those things, because, see, God didn't intend for us to live a life of stress and worry and irritation all the time. How many of you can say, you ever end up irritated, you don't even know why? That's why we're preaching on this today. That's why we're preaching on it. Jeremy was telling me this morning, he goes, I don't know how I put up with your kind of crazy. I said, baby, I got no clue. I'm just glad you do, because you're the only thing reining me in at this point. But, see, we're either going to rebuke or we're going to let that stuff come up in there. You're going to either stick your finger up in that problem and tell it to go and rebuke it. See, the Word says that from that moment, see, when we really boil down into our lives, what we have is moments. Do you ever have a moment that you'd like to go back and do something different? You ever have those moments where that you could feel that they were pivotal moments, and you think about them? Maybe it was 5 years ago. Maybe it was 10 years ago. Maybe it was something you said. Maybe it was how you reacted to a situation, and you want to go back to that moment, and you say, I wish I would have changed that. See, what we got to do is what I preached about last week. Be in the moment. Live in the moment. The devil will try to get you living in every episode of time, but right here and now. Because a lot can happen in a moment. You feel me? A lot can happen in a moment. Life-changing things happen in a moment. A moment's time. And so the Word says, from that moment, he was healed. What you got to decide is, how long do you want to go on with whatever you're facing right now? How long? Because God already gave you the victory. He already gave you the power and the authority to rebuke it. And the devil knows the moment we get that inkling to just straight up rebuke that thing. My aunt taught me this. How many of y'all got a crazy aunt that you love? I got the best aunt in the world. Her name's Aunt Kathy. And she always gives me a talking to. When I really need a good talking to, Jeff, I just talk to Aunt Kathy. She's a hot-blooded Italian woman, Puerto Rican, and they get plumb crazy. And I got a little of them genetics, but I got a little bit of my mama in me. When I need a good lining out, I just call Aunt Kathy. And she said, Kelly, you got to learn how to rebuke your own self. You got to learn that when you begin to say things and yourself prophesying yourself, this ain't never going to get no better. This is going to always be that way. That person's going to always be like that. All these things, and you're just sitting there and you're talking yourself into something that God did not have for you. You got to learn to take a hold of that and say, now thought and what I just said, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I am not going to prophesy my own future by telling myself this ain't getting better, because no, this is getting better right now. Right now it's getting better. Right now it's turning around. Not because I'm perfect, not because life is perfect, but because I serve a perfect God. Because I serve a perfect God who's well able to handle this problem. We have issues sometimes making problems bigger than what they are. I'm that way. Anybody else want to cop to that today? When Jeremy and I went on our honeymoon, I've never been good at math. It's not my thing. Math and science, no. Tierney, are you a science teacher? Yes. I'm never going to have an in-depth conversation with you about that. I can talk till the cows come home, but it ain't going to be about math or science. I barely passed those things. I mean, Haley, by the very skin of my teeth did I pass those subjects, okay? And I was doing a little math. Now, Jeremy is a genius. That's why I married him. Because he's smart. And I said, honey, Jackie was wanting to take me. We went to Tennessee for our honeymoon. And that was supposed to be very romantic. It had its moments. But I'm really a homebody. And I don't like to travel. And there's a lot of things I don't like. I'm a bit of a complainer. And I don't know how Jeremy has dealt with me. But look here, October the 4th, we'll be married for 13 years. And he's a saint. But anyhow, I said he wanted to take me to Tennessee because he wanted to see the Smoky Mountains. Well, I didn't tell him when we got married, but I'm really not an outside girl. Mountains are like dirt to me. I mean, they're there, they're pretty, but I don't want to get up in them. I don't care to really see them. That's not my thing. Now, for all of you, don't get mad at me. As I said, I love them, but they're not my thing. So we went to the Smoky Mountains up in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And then he decided that he wanted to rent a cabin. That sounded very romantic until I realized that the beds aren't magically made. My mother had done that for me for years, and that wasn't something that just came about. And there was no room service in this thing because I was a grown woman, and I was the one making the bed. And I said, what's the matter with this cabin you rented? I'm the one doing everything up in this cabin. And then he says, now, honey, I want to make a pit stop to St. Louis where I'm from because I want to show you off to all my friends and I want to have a little reception in St. Louis. I said, well, how far away is St. Louis from Tennessee? And he told me, look here, at that time, this is when we were both younger and thinner and younger. We drove a tiny Honda Civic, okay? I can't even imagine myself getting up into that. Look here, when Jeremy gets out of the garage and hit, Jeremy likes these little cars, and I've never understood that because I don't like to be cramped. If the car doesn't have room for these heels, I'm not getting in it. And I make Jeremy back that car out before I get up in the car because there's no way I can get in his car in the garage. I said, Jeremy, I hate to inform you, but we can't go to St. Louis. He said, why not? And I said, because the gas is going to cost $800 to get there. That was back when he used to indulge my stupidity. And he said, okay. That was before I told him I wasn't good at math. And he said, baby, can you tell me your calculations that you used to figure the gas mileage in this tiny Honda Civic from Tennessee to St. Louis? How did you come up with $800? Look here. In my brain, it was $800. You know how much it really was? Like $100. Now look, why did I go through that whole rigmarole? You know why? Because when we get up in the heat of the battle or the heat of the moment that I just talked about, moments, your life is made up of moments, pivotal moments. There are times when you're so in the thick of it that how you're seeing that problem is extremely unrealistic. You're off. Your perception is off. Because you right up in the thick of that thing. When you get up in the thick of that, how many of you know when you're in a good argument or something, how many of you know when you cross that boundary and you've gone too far and you're not even sure what you're arguing about, but you're going to go for it? I do that. And then I forget what I'm even arguing. Time out, Jeremy. Popcorn break. What was this argument about? I'm trying to catch my second wind, but I forgot what we were arguing about. And I'm too far in to admit it because I'm going for it. That's how we get sometimes. We get so involved and we get so in it that we start looking at that problem. We start making that thing bigger than the God that we serve. Look here, ain't nothing bigger than God. Nothing's bigger than God. And see, what God wants these kids to do, I look at our kids, and I look at all these babies, and I love these babies. These babies are the best. And I ain't having no more babies, and I'm happy about that, but I love seeing all y'all's babies. And I always love watching these parents so concerned about that baby falling and busting its rear. Mikey's going, nope, I've had three of them in the last 3 years. I ain't concerned. It's all they do. But look here. Nothing's bigger than God. Rebuke that thing that's got you so wound up. Rebuke that situation that's got you so tore up. How many of you know, if there's anything that I've been through this week, here's what I know, Dale. God will help you, but the devil, he wants to keep you in a constant state where you're just torn up. You're torn up all the time. It's not a mystery, Brother Angelo said. Are you being tormented this morning by something? Is there something that the devil's just tormenting you over and you feel that inner turmoil and you're doing everything you can do to just keep your head above water and not drown in it? See, the devil wants to keep you in that state. And God wants you to wake up and in a moment say, I rebuke you right now in Jesus' name. When's the last time you just put your hand over your heart and say, God, in Jesus' name, I just lose the peace of who you are up in this problem. I release it right now. God, I claim that victory. Lord, I may not can see it, but God, you already made it happen. And so in Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 and 18, from that moment, we have to live in all of our moments. I had a baby 10 years ago, and I've blinked, and he's 10. I don't know how that happened. In a moment. It seemed like it happened in a moment, doesn't it, Alvy? In a moment. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And it says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. And if there's something that I'd love to inspire you on today, is this right here. I feel like God is telling people, if you're watching me in your home on Facebook Live, first of all, I want to tell you, yes, I'm this flamboyant in real life. I'm not politically correct. But from this moment, God is saying, let's go to the other side of this. Let's go to the other side of this issue. Let's go to the other side of this battle that you've been facing for a really long time, and you're asking me if it's ever going to get better. Yes. If you've been asking God, God, when is this going to be over? God, is this going to be how it always is? Let me tell you something. No. No. Is it going to get better? Yes. Is this how it's going to always be? No. In some of my worst moments, what I really wanted, Kayla, was I wanted somebody to say, this is going to get better. And if you don't hear nothing else today, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. God's perfecting it right now. Let us go over to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Now look here. Jesus did this stuff all the time. He did it all the time. Here he is sleeping. How many of you, the first thing that you do when you got a real problem is lose sleep over it? Of course we do. Because there's something in us that thinks, if I worry about that thing just the right way, I'm going to make it better. No. You're going to lose sleep and you're going to be exhausted and you're going to be a grouch. Now that is very simple math, and I can do that math. So here he is, and he's sleeping, and he had done told his disciples, now disciples, we're going to go on the other side. So what I want to encourage you with this morning is, first of all, get the other side really pictured in your brain. There's people, and they've been in a battle for a very long time, and they've got used to that battle. They've got used to the dynamics, and you're just living with it. You think, well, I'm going to always be in it. I'm just going to live with this. Look here. Stop getting comfortable with something that God's wanting to take you out of. And tell yourself and speak to yourself and speak to that mountain and say, you know what? I'm getting on the other side of this. I'm getting on the other side of it. Now, what did they do? They left the crowd. And you know what? There's times you're going to have to leave that crowd and you're going to have to walk alone on some things. You're going to have to walk alone on some things. There's something in people and it makes them paranoid when they got to be alone. Look here, sometimes it's just you and God. And when it's just you and God, you shouldn't feel any which way but at peace. Who would you rather be with in the battle? The crowd or with Christ? Amen. And it says here, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And this reminds me of problems. Life has a very bad habit of just getting real, real quick. You ever going along and everything's just fine and all of a sudden, a million problems dropped in your lap someplace out of nowhere. And you're going, no, wait a second, everything was going fine. What just happened? Because now I've got a million problems. And that's a storm of life. We have to understand how to behave in the storm. Because what we cannot do is lose our minds in the middle of the battle. We got to hold on. Because, see, God's glory is coming. There's no doubt. But if the devil can sift you and torment you and harass you and get you upset and get you worrying and get you stressed and get that anxiety going and mess with you, he's going to. I have two boys. And here's what I've learned about children. If somebody said, tell me one thing about kids, here's what I'm going to say. You're going to have one thing or the other. And if you've got a boy and a girl, you're just in trouble. Boys are very destructive. They're going to break all of your stuff. You're not going to have anything nice till they leave. Girls are dramatic. You're going to have drama or you're going to have some destruction. Now, I've got two boys. So don't come over to my house thinking I got a pretty house and it's all pretty and perfect. Because let me tell you something. Every day of the week, it looks like a tornado come up in there and rattled that house in one day. A couple years ago, one day, they broke three major pieces of furniture in one day. One of them they broke just by running past it. I said, my God, thank you, God, I only had two of you little critters because I don't have any more stuff for y'all to break. You're about to break me. And here's where I'm at in child rearing right now. I would like for these boys to grow up and be men. I know, Lucas. It's a tall order for them. I know it, sweetie. They're not near as sweet as you. I want them to be men, Crystal, and I want them to be godly men. But I also want their wives to be happy and proud of them. So when we're at the dinner table at a restaurant or something, because we hardly ever have time to actually eat at the dinner table at my house, so when we're out to eat and they do something that's gross, I'm like, you can't do that anymore. And they're like, why? We've been doing this the whole time. Because you're 10 now. You're too old for that. No, you can't burp. No, you can't put your foot on the table. No, you can't do anything else at the table. No, you can't eat with your mouth open. There's things that I want you boys to learn how to do. You're going to have to figure out what you're trying to raise here. But anyways, back to my reading. I'm not sure where I was going with that. I'll find that in a minute. So here's Jesus. And he's in this boat. And he had to get, what you see about Jesus, what I love about him, is he wasn't afraid to get on to folks. You see it all in the Bible. You can't get on to nobody these days. They're going to have a hissy fit and get offended and all that stuff. And Jesus just straight up told people, look, why in the heck couldn't you heal that boy? Why couldn't you lay your hands on him and cast that demon out? He wanted to know. You know why? Because he had already given them the power to do that. He gave it to them. And he wanted to know why they weren't using it. Here he is in the boat, and he's sleeping. They wake him up. How many of you like to be woke up? Not at my house. So Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, and the disciples woke him up and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care? Now, there's times in your life where you're feeling like you're drowning in all your problems and all your life struggles. God cares. You don't ever have to ask God if he cares about that because He loves you so much. He cares about every little detail that's going on with you. And he knows every detail that's going on with you. And he says, don't you care? And he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then, y'all say then. See, what did he do? He rebuked that thing and then something happened. Too many Christians are wondering why the same old nonsense keeps going on. Is there anything in your life and you keep saying, this keeps on going on? Rebuke it. Rebuke it. Because after you rebuke it, you're going to see some shifts and some changes. And it says here, then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Completely. Not just a little bit. Not just a smidge, not a little of this, complete calm. We have to learn how to behave in the middle of the storm. That's a necessity. All in God's Word, He teaches us how to act when we're going through it. That's where I was going with that story with my boys. In case you want to know, it only took me 2 minutes to get back to that point. I may be suffering from a little squirrel mind today. It's the boots. If you can't laugh in church, you got problems, okay? I'm going to get a good laugh out of each and every single one of you before you go. And those of you that ain't budging, I'll sit in your lap if I have to. But we're going to make you be happy. Because look here, life is too short to be unhappy all the time. It's too short for that. He got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. You know what? God's waiting for you. All of heaven is waiting for you to stand up, to get up. See, there's too many Christians, and we've just laid over. If Jesus had to get up in the middle of the storm and rebuke something, you're going to have to. You're going to have to get up, and you're going to have to make yourself get up. There's times where you want to do everything but just get up and handle it. Look here, get up and handle it. Get up and handle it with the Lord. Get up and take care of that issue with God. And when you get up, know who you are. Know who He's made you, and then begin to rebuke. Begin to rebuke. When something wants to come into your life and take your joy, take your family, take your finances, take everything from you, you know what? God's not into you losing things. God's not in. You best make sure God gave you those things, but He ain't into you losing. We need to learn how to leave the storm right where we rebuked it. A lot of us will have a real good Christian day. We'll say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. That's on Monday. Tuesday rolls around. This has gotten hard. Devil, stop it. Wednesday rolls around. By Friday, we're like, oh, just do whatever you want to, devil. Look here. This is your life, not a free-for-all. Something going willy-nilly in your life, you grab that thing and you take a hold of it and you tell it to go. Rebuke it. When you rebuke something, you leave that thing right where you rebuked it. If it's doubt and unbelief, you leave that doubt and unbelief right where you rebuked it. Every time I drive past the church grounds, I'm going to make one of two decisions. I'm either going to live in faith or live in fear. And it's a daily decision. It's a daily decision. I'm going to either see the man of censure, or I'm going to see dirt. What are you seeing in your life? Are you seeing yourself get on the other side of what's been really nagging at you and what's been bothering you? Or you're seeing yourself defeated and laying down and letting the devil get one over on you? See, how do you see yourself? Rebuke the things that are nagging at you. Rebuke them. Take a hold of them. I cleared the deacons out of the back on Wednesday because Kelly May had enough of Carson and Colton. There's only so much of that one mama can handle in one day. There were several of the deacons back there. My parents were back there. And I had had enough of them. Now, I'm not as talented as my parents were, but I'm learning. And Melissa, I just got a hold of them. And I just rebuked the fire out of them. Look here. They didn't give me no trouble today. You know why? Because I rebuked their little rears. If they give me any more trouble, I'm sending them her way. She used to rebuke me. Ain't nobody gets you like Mama Brenda. One time we went up to Mexico, and I was doing something to her. I don't even know what it was. Albie, I think you were on this trip. I want you to know, God ain't sending me anywhere but Paris, Arkansas, and he's not sending me to any other countries because I don't have the stomach for that. Literally. And I was puking my guts out. And Albie had the biggest hat. He was fanning me. And I got my second wind. I wasn't one of them kids that ever got really tired. That's why I have trouble with my kids. They're just like me. Kayla, I got my second wind up there. I started feeling great. And I started giving her issues. She pulled up her pants. She said, look here. I don't care if you're the pastor's daughter. Look here, you little heifer. You're going to do what I told you. And I go, and she rebuked the heck out of me. And this is before the word heifer was cute. And I had never heard it in my life. And I thought, look here. I'm in trouble all the time. The only thing I want to know, Brenda, is this right here. What is a heifer? It's good we can laugh about this, but you know what? God wants you to just stand up and just rebuke that stuff off of your life. You have the power to do it. Don't walk around and waste your life being sad and unhappy and stressed and agitated and fearful. God's given you a better life than that. He wants you to just stand up and say, you know what? In Jesus' name, you're stopping that right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you, Satan, for what you're trying to do in my family. I rebuke you for what you're trying to do in my finances. I rebuke you for what you're doing in my marriage, in my emotions. I rebuke it right now. And I cast it down. I cast it down. The word tells us, cast down every imagination. See, are you imagining yourself getting through this, or are you imagining yourself still struggling? See yourself getting to the other side of it. See yourself getting through it. Because God's getting you through it. You're going to have to stand up and you're going to have to go. And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And in verse 40, he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? See, God's given you power even over the wind and the waves. Now, I know that may sound crazy, but if you grew up in the household that I did, it wouldn't sound so crazy. Time after time after time, I'd walk outside, we'd have something like the Harvest Festival, and Dad would be out there telling it, now rain, you're going to hold off, because you ain't raining on Harvest Festival. I've seen him stand on that stoop. This building had a flooding issue. 2 or 3 in the morning, you get tired of messing with that flooding issue. One day he'd had enough. See, have you had enough? Are you up to here? I hope you are, because you're going to get some oomph about you, and you're going to stand up, and you're going to say enough's enough. But see, while we're still nursing these issues, the devil's going to keep them coming. And he stood on the stoop, and he stretched his hands out, and he said, in Jesus' name, water, I rebuke you. Water, you're going that away, and you're not coming up in this church no more. Look here, Michelle. The water began to recede. Went back. You know why? Because he finally got sick of it. You got to get sick of what the devil's doing to you and take some control over it. Because look here, the devil can't trump you. He can't. Now we can let him. But when you take the authority God gave you, that's a whole nother story. Last place for me this morning, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 10. And it says here, finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. There's going to be days you don't feel strong. There are going to be days you ain't feeling it. You're going to feel this way and you're going to feel that way. And that's why we don't go by what we feel. God's telling us, be strong in Him. You can't be strong in anything else, but you can be strong in Him. You can be strong in what He's told you. You can be strong in what He's promised you. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. See, it's your stand. It's your stand. Ain't nobody going to take a stand against your problems but you. So it's your stand. It's your turn to get up and say, you know what? This has been in my life too long. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil's always scheming. He's always thinking, what can I add? How much more chaos can I add to this person's life? Scheming all the time. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. There's so many times where Christians get irritated with each other and they get offended at each other and they get mad at each other and they want to just be a certain way. Look here. It's not against flesh and blood. But against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Look here. There's forces coming against us all day long. You ever perfectly fine and just a wave of sadness just come over? You don't even know what you're sad over. You don't even know what you're stressed over. It just kind of come on you. Stand up and tell it no more. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, look here, it's not an if you're going to have troubles. You are. So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. God's made you able. He's made you able. When we stand up Sunday after Sunday, it's because God's made us able. God's made you able. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, I want to ask you this morning, have you done everything to stand? There's so many times when life wants to knock us down. Have you done everything that you could do to stand? Have you rebuked those things in your life that want to keep coming up? And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. Stand firm. I was praying last night and I said, God, what do you want to tell your people? I said, Kelly, just tell them to stand. It's one of the hardest things to do when things are going wrong or when things aren't going how you thought your life was going to go. It's hard to stand. And if God would say anything to you this morning, is look here, rebuke those things that are coming up in your life. But most importantly, make the decision to stand. Make the decision to not let life mull you over. Because look here, God's got nothing but good for you. He's got nothing but goodness for you, nothing but provision, favor, promotion, miracles, health. God will make a way when there was not a way before. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you right now that it's been planted. God, I thank you. Lord, as we face issues this week, as we face different things this week, Lord, I ask that you would water this word that's been planted this morning. God, water it. Lord, let them remember, God, to rebuke the things that are coming up against them. God, right now, I thank you, Lord, for a week full of breakthrough. God, for a week full of provision and favor. Lord, I thank you that there's people and they've been trusting you, God. And Lord, I thank you, God, that they've got miracles on the way. You're going to make a way, God, and we thank you for it. God, we call it done. And we praise you right now for it, God, in Jesus' name, amen.